Good evening. It's been a wonderful Lord's Day. We are in our studies on Sunday morning. I want to make this announcement. Our next lesson will be the work of the church, and it's threefold. You can study that next chapter in authentic Christianity, but the work of the church is to teach. It is to edify the body, and it is to help those in need, those three things. So that kind of coincides with the lesson tonight, as we're going to talk about church reset. And that may sound strange for a topic, but it's not so strange once you hear it. Listen to this quote: assembling together as the church has become too casual, too businesslike, and often second or third in our line of choices, shouldn't we be reminded our gathering together is intended to honor and to reverence our Creator, rallying together to gain strength to face another battle? Think about that. So in our study tonight, church reset, coming from Romans chapter 12, this is very familiar. We went to Murfreesboro last week, and we visited a congregation that Andrew and Lydia attend, and we went to Bible class, and this was actually the lesson that they were on in Sunday morning. And I gained a lot from that lesson. I thought I would share that. I had another lesson planned, but I thought, boy, this will be a great opportunity just to kind of get us refocused on what we are to do as God's people. Now, this is an effort to self-reflect by way of encouragement. So we want to be encouraged tonight to build each other up to face another battle. So sometimes it's important for us as the Lord's body to refocus, to reset ourselves to what God's priorities for us are. Oftentimes we become downtrodden in the Lord's work. And I've made this reference to Mike Green before. He would always text the group years ago when they were here. He'd say, pressing forward at the end of every text. So Mike understands, we all understand, I understand that the day-to-day work of a Christian can become tiresome. That's why we need each other. That's why we need each other. So we often have to reset ourselves. For instance, not just the work of the church, but do we often have to reset our own bodies? I'm pretty much a laborer. I'm a construction guy, and man, I get tired. I get tired. My body gets tired. At the end of the day, Lori's like, well, have a seat. See you in the morning. You know, so I sit down, and I'm out. I get tired, but you know, our Christian walk is the same way in some regards, but it's a joyful thing. I take pride in the work that I do physically, and I know we all take pride in our jobs, in our careers, or whatever we're doing, but you know, our bodies have to have rest. We have to rest our bodies. So sometimes we have to refocus on that rest. You know, are we getting enough rest? Do we need to go to bed earlier? Whatever it may be. Our diet. Hey, I have to refocus. I focus a lot on my diet. That's the problem. But I have to refocus often. Hey, you know, I need to cut down on my portions because my pants are fitting a little too tight. So that's something that we have to refocus on. And what about exercise? Sometimes we just don't get enough exercise. You know, don't we feel better when we do something? Use that as a spiritual application. Don't we feel better when we do something for the Lord in our work here at Eastside? So exercise, bodily exercise. How about resetting our relationships? What about our own families? You know, sometimes families, they don't get along as well as they normally should. You know, sometimes we have to step back and reset. That's healthy. What about your friends? You know, sometimes friends can get on your nerves, right? If you think you have a friend, go into business with them. That relationship will change pretty quick. So I'd advise not to do that. However, sometimes our friends may pull us away from God. They may have other motives in the friendships. And sometimes we have to step back and reset. Now, as I'm saying these things, think about our work here at Eastside. What about our coworkers? If you work with someone for 20 years, you know, sometimes that can be like, hey, I've just got to distance myself. And it may be one day, who knows. But sometimes we have to mentally reset how we deal with our coworkers. What about our lifestyles? Sometimes we have to refocus that, right? Sometimes our lifestyle can be expensive. Maybe we need to cut back on our spending, our recreation. And what about our habits? You know, sometimes as humans, we develop bad habits. And sometimes we need to recheck and reevaluate those habits. Often we need to reset our priorities to the Lord. And that's where we're going with this lesson. You know, it's for self-examination. And a lot of times in our relationship with the Lord and His people, we have to check ourselves in regard to self-control. You know, the tongue, James talks about the tongue. A man that doesn't bridle his tongue, you know, what can the tongue do? It can do tremendous amount of damage. So sometimes we have to reset our thinking in regards to self-control. So we need to think about God's requirements for His church. And we need to consider that the church is most important. So we have to stop for a moment sometimes to realize that we're part of the body. So just like a biological family, if you had, just for instance, a husband, a wife, some children, moms, dads, looking from the viewpoint of a child. You know, when moms and dads hurt, when children hurt, the whole family hurts. They feel the pain. They feel the struggles. We do whatever we can do to remedy that pain. When your child wrecks his or her bicycle for the first time, there's probably going to be some scrapes and bruises. What do? We rush over and try to see if we can help, see if we can make it better. We have to remember that the body of Christ is very similar to the family in God's design. So we are joined to one another in that regard. And we have to think about this in particular. We have the same goals. We should have the same goals. What's our goal? To get to heaven. So we're here tonight. We're trying to learn more about God's Word. We're trying to refocus for the week. And we need to be communicating with each other to see how we can help one another. So we're going to talk about some gifts tonight and from the book of Romans. And I want to make a note about this passage of Scripture. Being written in the first century, we have to take in consideration some gifts were miraculous, which they are not now, but we can still tie these gifts in to making us a better servant of the Lord. So, a question. In starting the list to kind of go through of the spiritual gifts or the gifts that we have in the kingdom, are you a consumer or a provider? Are you a consumer or a provider in the Lord's church? So we see in that list that Jeff read a minute ago, we see prophecy. So we see that prophecy can be used and was used in the New Testament as being a spokesperson for God. And as we, this morning we talked about preaching and teaching in the class, we are to proclaim the gospel. So we are spokespersons for the Lord. That's how we promote the gospel. It's a taught religion. So proclamation, which is a portion to our faith. And I thought that was very interesting. If you look at it from the context of the first century with the miraculous being in full swing, they had miraculous faith. If you look at some of the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians, miraculous faith is part of that. We don't have miraculous faith now, but how do we gain faith? Romans 10:17. We're all familiar with that passage of Scripture. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So that tells me I need to be studying more. And oh yes, there's a command for that too. Study to show thyself approved unto God, right? A worker that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So study can help us gain more knowledge of God's word. And looking that in doing that, it helps build up the body. It's for edification of the whole. The next one we're going to talk about is ministry. Can everyone be a minister in some way? Could that be your strong suit? Could that be your talent? Again, I want you to examine yourself. If you're not doing some of these things, challenge yourself. Stress yourself to do some of these things. And this may be one of your strong suits. Yes, everyone has the ability to minister in some way. I will challenge you to look for new ways to minister. Team up with someone. There's so many good works going on at Eastside. Just look around and think, hey, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that ministry. Challenge yourselves to serve better for the Lord. How about teaching? I'm going to use this moment to challenge you all to teach. I know it is difficult to find teachers sometimes. We're all busy. I understand that. The eldership understands that. We would love to have teachers in place for every class for about 6 months to a year. That would be great. That would be wonderful. When we do the classes on Sunday morning, it would be wonderful to have some curriculum or some topic set up for 6 months to a year. That way I wouldn't be worried because I was put in charge of getting the teachers for the Sunday morning. And I will say this, every person that I have asked to teach has said yes, and I appreciate that. That's wonderful. But I don't want to get to a point to where you see me coming with material and you run the other way. We don't want to do that. So stretch yourself, challenge yourself to teach more. And we have VBS coming up. There's plenty of opportunities to teach and to work in VBS. So in teaching, attend more Bible classes. You know, often we fight the notion that 3 times a week, that just seems like a lot to meet to some folks, but it's not. It's a privilege to meet with brothers and sisters in Christ. How much more? I think there was a study done. It's been years ago when I first heard about this. If you did the hours of study time that individuals, especially kids, when they attend regular Bible classes, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, versus those children who don't attend those Bible classes, in 10 years, the knowledge difference is remarkable. So I challenge you to attend more Bible classes. Make sure your kids are attending Bible classes. Here's another one. Study with other Christians. You know, sometimes we think Bible study, Bible study, Bible study with non-Christians trying to teach the gospel, and that's what we're to do. But you know, it helps us sometimes to just set up Bible studies with other Christians. I know you've heard the term iron sharpening iron. Well, sometimes that's a wonderful thing, and we should do that. We should do that more often. I know we have had several Bible studies with some of the new Christians here at Eastside, and it's been wonderful. And, you know, just to see other people learn and be more interested in God's Word, that's a blessing for the teacher as well as those who are being taught. And in regards to teaching, ask questions. You know, the best way to learn sometimes is just ask a question. I hear all kinds of questions, and I'm not bothered by questions. I don't categorize them as, you know, well, they shouldn't ask that, or they shouldn't have asked this or that, whatever. I'm excited that people want to learn more about God's Word, and I love questions. One of the other works in ministry for building up the body that Paul talks about is exhorting one another. I wrote, be a Barnabas. We know that he was an encourager. So by doing good, and the gentleman that was here this morning that made some comments in class, I appreciated those comments. He made the statement that, you know, your life is sometimes all others need to see. If it's a good Christian life, so to speak, you know, that says a lot. That motivates people to learn, want to learn more about God. So in doing good or by doing good, sometimes you can persuade others to do good. So be a Barnabas, be an encourager, and always try to be positive for the building up of everyone around you. And I wrote this, and I wasn't trying to be funny, but when I'm reading it, it sounds kind of funny, but I'm going to say it. But we hope in being positive that it is reciprocal, okay, that it comes back to you. You hope when you're positive and you love someone genuinely, we want them to love us back, do we not? And we get hurt sometimes when that is not the case. So the ones receiving the encouragement, you know, acknowledge that someone is being an encourager to you. So some of the things in being an encourager, and I so much appreciate Brooke's help with the visitation and getting that program up and going. That's been wonderful. I've heard some great things about that work that he's doing. He's very organized, and I appreciate that. So visiting. You want to be encouraged? Visit. If you want to be encouraged, make positive phone calls. Use kind words. You know, I'm standing here saying these things, and I know that you guys do offer kind words and phone calls and cards to other members when they're sick. Miss Anna, she wants to send a card as soon as someone becomes a Christian. I mean, they don't get out the door and she's wanting to know an address. That's wonderful. We love that. We love that about the members here that want to be an encourager. What about giving? It's more than money. As I said this morning, in class, and I'm not going to back down from this statement, that just putting money in the collection plate doesn't relieve you of your responsibilities to preach and teach the gospel. It just doesn't. We're all responsible for that. Giving money, putting money in the offering plate, doesn't relieve you of your Christian duties. We have to do that. So here's the thing. It's more than money. So give more of yourself. Give of your time. Give of your effort. Sometimes when we just show up to a function, a work-related function, for instance, here at Eastside, you know, you might catch yourself just showing up to, I guess I just need to check the box, I'm going to show up. But you know what? When you're here for about 5 or 10 minutes and you're working with your other brothers and sisters, it becomes more joyful. It's a great experience. So not just working here at the building, but anything in regards to the Lord's work, give liberally. Give liberally. So what about leading? Leading God's people with everything you have. If you have an opportunity to lead something, you know, you may be the greatest leader ever. But if you do it half-heartedly, you're not going to achieve your goal. Lead with all your might. Lead by apostolic example. You know, when we lead, we do anything in the Lord's church, we want to look to the Scriptures. And we see the apostles, we see all those events in Acts recorded for us in the work that they were going about doing. They were doing it wholeheartedly. You know, in the face of death, in the face of danger, in the face of anything that can go wrong, I guess they may not have known about Murphy's Law, but it sure was in place, it would go wrong, but ultimately the good prevailed. The preaching of the gospel prevailed, even though most of the apostles were martyrs. We need to be led by God's word, first and foremost. What about having mercy? I was encouraged. We were in our Bible class last week with Andrew and Lydia, and they had been working with that particular congregation for about 1.5 years now. And the minister actually was teaching the class. So he assigned my daughter-in-law mercy. And I thought, wow, that's so true. She's so kind and so gentle and so patient. She married my son. And then they gave him ministry. I thought, what's all this about? Why are they giving my son ministry? Well, come to find out that he's been doing a lot of door knocking in the Murfreesboro area. A lot of friends and family that we didn't know, we didn't realize that he had been working with, some, you know, several baptisms that he was part of. That encouraged us tremendously. We all need a little mercy from time to time, right? We all need a little mercy. I've tried to honestly focus on not just saying that, but, you know, when I'm in the construction building business, and sometimes I just don't have a lot of patience with folks. But I'm thinking, you know, maybe they got something bad going on in their life that day, some event or whatever. They didn't show up. They didn't do this right or do that right. Try to show people a little more mercy. You know why? As I get older, I feel myself slipping a little bit in my profession. And I'm hoping that folks will have a little mercy on me at some point. Same way in the church. You know, we're not perfect by any stretch. We all have our shortcomings. We all are trying to attain. We're striving for that perfection in Christ Jesus. We're to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're growing. That indicates that we need a little mercy. Now, God has richly supplied mercy for us. You know, He gave His only Son in a merciful fashion He was given to us what we need rather than what we deserve. And that's grace. So we all need a little grace. We all need some mercy. God gives us mercy. You know, He gives us mercy way more than we deserve. You know, a lot of times we sin and we think, you know, I'm sorry, God, I'm not going to do that anymore. And then it's, you know, 2 or 3 days go by and what do you do? Same thing. We need mercy. God richly bestows mercy upon each of us. And I am glad of that. And I'm glad that God does that because He loves all of us. He doesn't just love me, He loves you, He loves everyone. So our challenge for this week, moving forward, to reset our thinking for the Lord's work. So we're calling it a church reset. The Lord's church sometimes needs to, as a whole, check themselves. Are we doing what we need to do for the Lord? And again, that's me trying to encourage you to be better for God. So we need to reset our thinking in mind of having a greater purpose in the Lord's body, for strengthening the Lord's body. So everything that you and I do moving forward, let's have the mindset that, hey, I'm doing it for BJ, or I'm doing it for Kevin, or I'm doing it for whoever. Picture whoever that you see when you walk in these doors, when you live your life on a day-to-day basis, picture these faces, these awesome faces that we have at Eastside. We're a family. We're part of the body. Christ is the head. We can't just say, oh, I'm going to cut off this limb or that limb. It's no good. We've got to strengthen. We've got to strengthen each other the best that we can. Now, this list, if you go back and revisit this week, read Romans chapter 12. Read this list and how Paul emphatically implores the church to do these things and do it with patience and long-suffering. So I listed some things that we can take home with us and we can focus on this week. And looking at these gifts that members of the Lord's body possess, it's such a blessing. Do it in love. Focus on one or two of these things that you may be best fitted for. Do it in love. Do it with honoring one another. We're honoring one another. And in honoring one another, we are honoring God. Know this, that serving the Lord, practicing these things, it's a privilege. You know, it's a privilege to serve in the Lord's kingdom. It truly is. Do it with excitement and enthusiasm. That's kind of hard to do sometimes. But that's why we have each other, to build each other up, to motivate each other, to encourage one another. Do it with patience. Remember the mercy thing? Have mercy on each other. So sometimes we have to do these things with patience, knowing that if we are ministering, maybe the person that you're ministering to is in a really rough spot. So don't say, oh, they didn't appreciate what I did for them. Don't be like that. Have patience and trust God that He will do His work. Longevity. Don't just do things just to check the box. Know that we are here to the end, till we take our last breath or the Lord comes back. We are to do these things with purpose. Do these good works with humility. Do these good works with humility. And when I was coaching basketball for some little small kids years ago, we'd always have our little pep talk in the back room. We'd say our little prayer. We'd all hold hands, and this is fourth and fifth graders. And I would say, guys, attitude is everything. Have the right attitude. When you go out on that court, have the attitude. I mean, we wanted to win, obviously. Have a good attitude. You know, if you miss a shot, I don't use many sports analogies, I just don't. But if you miss a shot, there's always the next time. You know, if you offer to help someone and you don't feel like it's well received, well, there's a next time. Always focus on serving God and loving one another. So as we close, always we give opportunity for any Christian that needs the prayers of the church. This is just a convenient time that we can do that. And we're always, always available to study more. We're always here if individuals want to obey the gospel. I don't think there's not anything that I would rather do than to stay a little bit later to have a baptism. I love that. Maybe you've been studying. Maybe you're just right there at the brink of obeying the Lord. We want to encourage you to do that tonight as together we stand and sing.